Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Premier film journalists, that is.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Meet the Movie Press. I am Mark Riley. I am managing editor of GeekNation.com. Jeff Snyder from The Wrap is on location doing an assignment. He is at the Sundance Film Festival, so tweet at him, at the In Snyder, and let him know that you all saw he was taking a helicopter into Park City. He's an asshole for that. He's looking like he's having fun. He's already balling up in the air over there, so go ahead and wish him a good time. But without further ado, my guest that a lot of you tweeted at me last week, and of course he's coming in because he's El Miembe. He's my good friend, Humberto Gonzalez. How are you, my friend?
What's good? Great to be back. What's poppin', Fanboy Nation?
Yeah, man. They're excited because what perfect timing to have you on because I was talking about this. Guys, we're all on the live chat now. We're at YouTube.com, Popcorn Talk Network. So join us there if you want to join in on the conversation here. I see you're there. We got about 100 people now watching, joining in. And we got a lot of comments coming in. But guys, I wanted Humberto on because there's so much to talk about.
Ooh.
Not only like DC coming out swinging, which we're going to get to. We got some news on like Star Wars, some Avatar news. But I wanted to start with the Oscars because I'm finally I know you're big on talking about diversity in the space, in the movies, wherever it may be. And I like to I believe there is a big problem happening in the Oscars right now, and I wish there was more nominations. Straight Out of Compton, for me, has been the biggest snub because
Jesus
I think there
Christ.
Were so many chances to nominate that, including Best Picture. That was one of the best movies of the year.
And the irony is it's the white guys that got nominated on
See,
that.
See, that's where I'm like, huh. Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look at
it
all.
It wasn't a good look.
It's a great script. It's not a – I mean, it's worthy of its nomination.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But this and the director and Jason Mitchell, come on.
Yes, man. That's where I'm going. Jason Mitchell.
Yeah. Best picture.
The movie,
least director, yeah.
That's what gets me the most is that the Academy goes to a 10 nomination that they've never used since. And they're always doing like 7 or 8. And I'm always wondering, and a lot of people were too, is like, why not put Straight Outta Compton? Why not give it that nod as a deserving thing? Is it because we're not going to go there because of A, B, and C? I don't know. So overall, what did you think about the nominations and what they did? And
bum juice.
Yeah.
Bum juice. That's what I think. The breakdown of the academies tends to be older white conservative men, they vote conservatively. Like, diversity is very important. I mean, when I launched Heroic, I wanted it to be a multicultural site.
Yeah.
And, cognizant of the fanboy culture that it's out there right now. Like, I don't care if you're white, black, Asian, Latino, straight, gay.
Yeah.
We all love superheroes.
Yeah.
So my site reflects that.
Yeah.
That diversity. And that's one of the things I'm proud of. So we were all upset that these movies got this, and these actors especially. I mean, Benicio del Toro in Sicario, I thought he was a lock. I was like, he's done. Give him the best supporting actor.
I thought so
Nothing.
As well.
He got this at the Golden Globes, and he got this at the Oscars.
Yeah, I find it just and Sicario, just it's one. It's my favorite movie of the year. It's my number one still of 2015. It was my favorite, so I agree with you there. I thought Benicio was a lock, too. But I guess
Makes
he's going to
no
have
sense.
To get it for Star Wars then, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Star Wars.
I wanted to get your thoughts. So then today, which was interesting, Charlotte Rampling, who got nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in 45 Years, came out today on an English talk show and said that actually the Oscars are racist to white people. Like if
– Really?
These black actors deserved the nomination, they would have gotten it. And I heard everybody
– That's not true.
All over the airwaves just kind of – okay. Really? Oh, ooh, okay. She went there. I know she's wrong.
She's totally
absolutely wrong.
I mean, most of the winners for the last – how many years the Oscars winner? 70 years or so have been predominantly white. Come on. That's ridiculous.
It has been. And then to kind of show – like I heard an interesting interview with Will Smith last night where I think it was – the Good Morning America, whatever it was, and they're asking, you know, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know. You know, I was nominated twice, and I lost both times to a black actor.
That, okay.
And I'm like, there you go. Okay, good. So that's good to know. It's nice to know. However, then George Clooney comes out and says, we're going backwards. Like,
but we are.
10 years ago, it was like – in Will Smith's example, he lost to Forrest Whitaker and he lost to Denzel Washington. So it's like 10 years ago, it's like, he you know, we were doing pretty good. This is very, very blatant.
That's why I'm for 10 per category.
Me too. That'd be great.
I think it's the fairest way of going about it and stuff. But there's been a lot of banter. I've been watching it on Twitter between individuals in the industry. And I think the Academy was only reflective of the business.
Yeah.
Okay. So that not only has to be changing the Academy, but changing the business as well. Look, there are 5 breaking news reporters in this town. I'm one of the 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the other 4 are white and they all work at trades. Never make it an issue. Oh, give it to me because I'm Latin. No, I just run faster, you know, push harder, take a better jump shot. But being a reporter of color, I think I'm held to a different standard than my 4 colleagues at the trades. I see.
Interesting,
So it's like I'm in the thick of it. So like a lot of times when I go meet sources and stuff, I'm like perhaps the only person of color in these locations. You know, but I don't complain about it. In spite of that, I think I'm doing okay. You know, I
don't great, man, from my point of view.
I don't play the race card, but I see it. I see, like, minority-owned media outlets, especially in our space, are treated much differently than the white ones. I'm going to tell it like it is. That's been my experience. That's one of the reasons I've been advised to leave spoiler culture, to see if I'm indeed held to a different standard.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stand for it. Like, I was at Latino Review, we got discriminated to our face, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm a boss. I'm in charge. I'm not going to stand for it. I've been making some political and especially legal connections in case I have to come out swinging.
Nice,
I'm not going to stand for it. No way.
Yeah.
But I got to play a little bit of ball. So I said, let's see, you know, if you get out of the spoiler business, which has been their biggest complaint, if you're treated the same as your colleagues. I think so.
Yeah.
I have good relationships with most of the studios, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But the change has to come from within. There needs to be people of color in power making decisions.
Yeah.
Like I talked yesterday about the Warner Brothers Greenlight Committee and talking about Jeff Johns. There's nobody of color on there.
Right. Yeah. Very true.
There's nobody of color there. And I think in the decision-making process of the other studios, there's no – like Spike Lee is legitimately right.
Yeah, he is. He's made some great points. And somebody came out, which I actually like this as well. Not just, you know, looking at the diversity in the nominations and the actors, but we got to go straight to the studios and go, you need to greenlight some more diverse movies, some more movies with black, Latino, women, like all these different things. Like, start
it's good
there.
Business.
Yeah.
Straight Outta Compton was a hit. It made money.
I don't understand this, guys, and maybe you can explain it to me why you're not nominating Straight Outta Compton when you have 2 more slots available, even Creed. I know people are coming out on Creed too, and Ryan Coogler. I could argue that point as well, that he got snubbed. Absolutely, you know. I wish he was nominated. I thought Creed was one of the Creed's in my top 10 as well. Surprised the hell out of me, and it's, you know, they're going after
written,
Sly,
directed,
and I love
starring,
it.
Written, directing, and starring people of color, and it's the white guy that gets the nomination.
It's like, yeah, it's so,
I'm all for Sly. He deserves it. Absolutely.
Me too. It's, guys, and it's such a fine line. I know. I see you guys. It's already heated here on the end. We've already gone
Am I getting dissed or trolled?
No, I didn't. Okay. It doesn't look that way. So, right. I mean, I'm seeing just Fast and Furious. You're right. You know, El Miembe.
Fast and Furious, that's song. The song category.
That's right. The song didn't, which is weird because
I was broke crying when that song came out.
I know.
You know?
There's something going on. I mean, look, I don't know.
The Academy has to get diverse. They need more members of color.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Asian, Latino, black in their membership. It can't be like guys in their 60s and 70s, 90% white. That's going to be a problem while that exists.
Yeah, there's 95% of like my grandfather sitting in there, you know, old and pudgy and he's like, hey, what are these kids doing here? Get off the lawn. Give it to the white and whatever. I'm very, very – it's such a fine line because I've gotten in arguments. I've gotten in great discussions over it, even on Twitter. And, you know, we might write something over at Geek Nation. But I – you know, it needs to start happening. More members in the Academy that are diverse, just like you said. And also just go, let's start doing this. We had such a great year with Creed and Straight Outta Compton, Beasts of No Nation.
Beasts of No Nation. What the hell?
So, you know, all
of those.
But that's
prejudice against, I think, digital technology and these new platforms. That's the old guard not having it with the new guard.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. And I think that's very interesting. When we were talking about the nominations, what's to come, I remember we were talking about Beasts of No Nation. And it was like this wall. We hit this wall. It's like, oh, yeah, it's Netflix. Is it going to go there? And there was no talk of diversity or racism or anything. He was literally talking about just the new space and the digital. And are we going to get there? And I believe we are. Sooner or later, we are. Because
don't be surprised if Netflix is the biggest buyer at Sundance next week.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. So are you going to be covering Sundance on the site?
There is one movie that a friend of mine has been trying to get done for 10 Nate Parker. He's one of the top 10 hot films of the Birth of a Nation, about the story of Nat Turner, who led the rebellion, a slave rebellion in the 1800s. It's heroic. We're not all just capes and cowls. It's like, that's why we cover 13 hours. If it's heroic, guys doing heroic things, we cover it besides capes and cowls. Capes and cowls are, that's how we pay our rent and it's the bread and butter, but we cover. So that's the one movie I'm tracking.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I know the rep on that movie, so I'll probably see it sometime next week.
Nice.
But it'll probably sell this weekend, but I'm happy for him. He took all his money from acting, put it into the movie, got it. You know, he's been talking, you know, like guys talk, I'm going to do this movie, I'm going to do this movie. Go get. He did the movie.
Yeah.
His first time out as a director.
Nice.
And it's in Sundance in the dramatic competition, and it's being written about. I'm so happy from all over the trades, top 10 things are going to sell. Rebecca Ford at Hollywood Reporter blew him up and did a nice photo shoot. So I'm thrilled for him.
That's great.
Well, so I can't wait to see it. We're going to cover that for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, and I can't wait. Like I said, Jeff, he's going to be back next week. We'll talk all about it because he's having fun.
He's sleeping right now.
Yeah, he probably is. I know. but let's get – so that's – you know, we wanted to touch on Oscars So White, hashtag the Oscars So White. Like I said, I think it starts there. Let's get some more Academy members in there, diversity, and then – I'm banging the drum now. It's like, let's also start at ground zero and go with these movies. Let's get more of these movies. Give me more Straight Outta Compton Creed stuff. That was awesome. Beasts of No Nation, please. I'll take it any day of the week.
But they didn't politic. Like, I'm hearing the other side of the argument that they didn't play the political game and the promotion game that most of these studios play for your consideration. They didn't really play it that much. That's why I pretty much also got snubbed from what I'm hearing, you know?
WM,
it's politics.
WM3000XL is calling me out saying, I don't know how the Oscar voting works. It's not like they collectively decide, should we add one more movie? Everyone votes individually, and every movie with 5% first place votes is in. Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what I'm saying. I know it's happening there. I'm just saying, if you go to square one and start getting some more movies out there, like, we got to change it. It's going to be a slow road, I think, to start changing
things. This business
things.
Needs more Stephanie Elaines. Back in the days, like in the 90s, Stephanie Elaine discovered John Singleton.
There you go.
Robert Rodriguez, when she was at Sony. She put a lot of filmmakers of color on. We need more forward-thinking executives like that in the business. You know, she's an independent producer now, but she was very... If we had just half a dozen of hers or one at each studio, it'd be a game changer.
Yeah. And Singleton came out actually too because he was nominated for Boys in the Hood and that was a big deal
back then. Yeah.
And he was actually kind of not really going the Oscars So White. He was like, it kind of more on the, you know, if it's worthy, it'll get a nomination. He kind of hit the the middle ground, but kind of stated very, very matter-of-factly, but yeah, we need more movies.
Of course.
So that's where I'm coming from, guys. And it's a fine line, believe me. We have a lot of news, so let's move on to that. And yeah, they're calling you out, buddy. Not calling you out. Just wondering about any scoops.
Oh.
He might. We don't know. We don't... Oh, yeah, we do know. Sorry. And we're going to get there. But I want to do this first.
Sure.
I want to know because you were on a show with me. We talked about Masters of the Universe. And it was just announced today by Deadline that
on the way here.
On the way here, I saw it. I know. Yeah. I got a a text from Mr. Christian Harloff, a head schmo, and it was just all caps, McG? Question mark across the board, and I went, I know what he's talking about. So McG is in talks for Masters of the Universe at Sony. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Right off the bat, what do you think of that?
They've been trying to do that for a hot minute. I remember when Justin Marks did Tarzan, he wrote the hell out of that. I remember, that was a great draft. I'll always be a fan and defend that.
Yep.
Sony, I mean, Sony's been trying to get that off the ground for a minute, you know. So let's see. I mean, McG is serviceable. I know too many people are not going to be crazy. If it's in the script, then they'll be fine. But as I was driving and reading, you know, dangerously, was like, okay, he's going to oversee a rewrite. So let's see who he gets as a rewrite and who they cast as Prince Adam and go from there.
Yeah.
I'm going to remain positive about it. I'm excited about it. I want to see He-Man again. I mean, I love the Dolph Lundgren one. When I was a kid, I went to go see it. Like, what about Grayskull?
Yeah, it's a guilty movie pleasure for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about McG. I have there's a special place in my heart for the Masters of the Universe because I actually got to throw my hat in the ring for that with Christian Harloff years ago.
When you guys were at Silver.
Yeah, it was like 2006, 2007. Right. It was it was even before that. It was 2005.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Minute. That was a long time ago. It was over at Silver Pictures and, you know, I believe it's Mattel. They own the property. They didn't like what we were doing. I guess they didn't want a Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings kind of movie. So, yeah, thanks a lot there, Mattel. Anyways, it went over to Justin Marks. Justin Marks did the great script of it. And then, you know, didn't work out there. Went to Sony where they've been trying to figure it out. So, McG, I don't know. I just don't – I liked Charlie's Angels.
I liked it too.
I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it. That's about it for me. I just wish – I don't know. There's not a lot of – it's kind of just
– he's a shooter. Just give him a good script and he might execute.
I think it's I think so. Sorry. I'm just kind of tongue-tied with McG. I'm like –
okay.
I don't want to just, you know, bag on the guy because I don't know him and I don't know it. But I just want, again, I'm very biased. I want Masters of the Universe to just be, it could be a really special franchise.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And they kept bringing up Transformers as a comparison, which I'm like, no, I don't want a Transformers movie, which is just action and zero story. So but I know it does well. It does billion-dollar business. So anyways, that's that. Masters of the Universe. What do you guys think? Do you think McG is going to be a good director for this? I already have a feeling that Fanboy Nation probably not liking McG that much. So anyways, that was some interesting news.
But they remind me of like Knick fans who were against the draft of Porzingis. They were like, until Porzingis started performing. So let's give McG a shot, you know, and see
Porzingis
what
was maybe going to go to the Lakers too. And that we missed that
boat. Thank God.
Yeah, right.
But he's on fire right now.
I
love it.
I know he is. the other big news that we're going to get to before we go like headfirst into DC, because I have a lot to say because I'm flying the DC flag today because I'm really excited. But
DC Films,
I wanted DC Films. That's great. Okay, I wanted to get to this first. Star Wars moved its debut from May. What was it? May 27th, I want to say 2017. 26. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And moved it to December 15th, 2017. Now, people went crazy on Twitter. They're like, you know, you guys know now I'm hosting Far, Far Away over at Geek Nation. I mean, it's my dream job talking about Star Wars because it's my number one of all time. I love Star Wars. And everybody's like, whoa, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm like, thank God they have more time. That's all they need. And I have numerous like – okay, so Rian Johnson, I know somebody who knows his DP, okay? And that somebody said that DP was like – it's so amazing. I can't believe. Now he's fanboying out. He's on set. He's a professional shooting. He's seen R2-D2. He's seen the Stormtroopers. He's just loving it. But then I think me and Jeff were talking about it that there's a script kind of rewrite happening.
They just want to be extra sure.
They want to be extra sure. And it's so the story goes is that they're looking at. I mean, look, Disney sent out a release. They were kind of ahead of the game. They're like, listen. We had success releasing Force Awakens, obviously, in December. We're going to do the same. But the reality is it gives them a little bit more time to tweak the script. In Rian Johnson, I trust completely. So, guys, this is a good thing. Do I want to wait an extra 7 months? Not really. I mean, yeah, I want my Star Wars now, but I want it better. I don't want – you either get it fast or you get it now, or, you know, right. What's the saying? Guys, way early for me today. I'm just drinking
some
coffee.
Damn good coffee.
Yeah, right.
Can I interject, Riley?
Yes, please.
I'm actually, as much as it really disappointed me to find out that they moved the date, but also I love that Star Wars is coming around the holidays.
Yeah. Right?
That's my favorite time to go because it's a family movie for us.
And that's why I do.
And that's why we like going to the theater right after, you know, around Christmas time.
You know what?
That's why I think they moved it. To me, it's a business decision because it's a time for the whole family. I went to see my sibling and my father.
Oh yeah, you know? I went Christmas Day too. I took my girlfriend's the whole family and we went and they were just enamored with it. That is such a great point too, and I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's like, I think it could have been as simple as, you know, how do you feel about the script? Yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, a couple more tinks, but that's it. We'll get through this. Well, you want some more time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are you talking? Maybe we can move it to December. That would be great. Let's do that. Yeah, Christmas comes early then. We got December 15th, Christmas. 10 days later, it's the real Christmas, but that day it's Christmas. So I'm excited by it.
Absolutely. It's a great time, to release the movie.
Absolutely. And then you were aware of this. Then Avatar comes out yesterday, Avatar 2, and says they're moving it because it was supposed to be same day, right? Or same weekend?
Same week or something like
that. Something like that.
The same release window.
Yeah, so
but they probably knew something that we didn't. Like my friends have been calling. They're doing that because they know Avatar's not going to make its release date.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
And it got proven last night, actually, on the ramp.
I mean, yeah, that's right. So that's the other news. You know, Avatar 2 moved, and like this, God, Avatar news to me, it just doesn't land with me. I know we cover it, but you know, I had one of my writers cover it because I just have zero passion for Avatar, and I don't think. I mean. In my opinion, if they would have stayed on course, Star Wars would have blown it out of the water. Do you believe that, or do you think
it could cannibalize? They could cannibalize each other.
I think there's a version of that too. I'm wondering. I could be completely wrong and say that Avatar, you know, if it was going up against Star Wars, so now
but we're talking about the most successful
movie of all time
at the box office, not once but twice.
He's
probably got something that is going to rock our world.
Probably,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, Star Wars is Star Wars, but don't sleep on, what's the name of the planet? Pandora?
Pandora.
Yeah, don't sleep on the tech in Pandora.
Yeah.
You know, that was an event. Like, you're seeing a world in 3D for the first time and experiencing a new culture, new creatures, new technology. And that's always going to be enticing to people.
Sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, let's keep it real. Star Wars didn't catch up to the box office of Avatar.
No, it didn't. Which, it's still, I don't know what to think about it. I mean, I still wonder why Avatar is that high up there. I mean, I saw it once in the theaters and went, yeah. And I've seen Star Wars in the theaters four times. So it's just.
Star Wars is simple because we grew up with characters and we're emotionally engaged in their stories, you know? So, but Avatar is more of a visceral feeling, you know, like being part of going into a world and being part of it.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, what do you think? All right. what do you guys think? Everybody is on here. Yeah, Avatar. Zeno Hour is one of our always chiming in. I love it.
What's good, Zeno Hour?
Avatar 2 equals Z's. Yeah. Snores.
I mean, I think they waited too long to make a sequel, but I think it'll be fine.
That's where I'm at, too. I think it waited a little long, but we're getting, what, three? After, like, back to back to back. It's going to be interesting. I do like the world. I do like the mythology that was set up. As long as Cameron, and he can and he will, make it more interesting, kind of go a little deeper. I hear there's going to be some underwater stuff. I mean, look, those effects will probably be amazing. So we'll see. I'm a little cool on Avatar. That's not very much my jam, but we'll see. I'll see it like the rest of you. So, all right, enough of that. Let's talk about the big news that this week was. You guys, I'm sure you wanted it. It's probably best that Jeff is doing Sundance because he's not always into the superhero news, but he does like talking about
it. It's amazing to me. There's a section of millennials that weren't born with the fanboy gene. They're like,
right?
They're like guys like Jeff and stuff, and I get blown away. It's like, dude, did you not like comic books growing up or Spider-Man or X-Men? What's wrong with you?
Well, and that's why we complement each other so well because I'm the fanboy and he's the actual real journalist. I mean, let's be real here. Yeah. This guy, you know, is on the pavement and seeing the movies that I don't get to see most of the time, but and it obviously is at Sundance. But here I am now. We are talking about DC films. So let's start first. They kind of prepped us for it out of the blue because first they released the Justice League concept art.
Right. And we were all like, is this real? Is this fake? Everybody.
Everybody was like, wait a minute. Is this real? And mm-hmm. I remember seeing it in the car while I was driving in the office. It was covered. We were sharing it on Geek Nation, and I'm like, okay, it might be a rumor, but I'm like, that looks pretty damn good.
Yes.
Then we go to DC Films Facebook page, and I see – one thing I did see is I saw Collider Frosty mm-hmm. that he had liked the page. I'm like, yeah, legit. Okay,
I was like one of the first 500 people to like
it.
And it got verified later in the day.
Yeah, it got verified. So it was literally like the image comes out. And then the blue check mark comes later, so everybody's like, yep, yeah, there it is.
Viscardi over at comic book called Warner's and got it confirmed and stuff, and then when it was legit, Arcade's legit.
Yeah. Nathan Kaiser on the live chat here says, Jeff did like the Suicide Squad, though he tweeted about it. Yeah, he did. We had a little back and forth via text, and we're like, what'd you think? So we'll get there. I want to get to the build up to this was kind of amazing. I got to hand it to DC because, you know, and I got accused last week of being a DC hater.
Oh, God. Talk about DC, you're a Marvel hater. If you talk about Marvel, you're a DC hater.
I don't get it, guys.
Riley, who was the person that did it? I will break his kneecap. How dare they?
Yeah, well, it's on the... I've been afraid to go to the YouTube comments on Meet the Movie Press because we've been apparently taken over. I mean, we were called out for not talking about diversity and two white guys sitting around talking about diversity last week. That hurt, guys. That hurt. Then it was DC, like I don't love DC. I mean, I literally branded myself with a DC logo, and that is I have a Superman tattoo on my shoulder. For God's sakes, people, I love DC. I want it to be successful.
Right.
If I have a little – when I see Batman v Superman throw Doomsday out at me, and he looks kind of similar to like – a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or Abomination?
Abomination.
Yeah, the Abomination. That's my freaking opinion. I can say that. It doesn't mean I hate DC.
Riley.
He's not going to look like no Ninja Turtle. Trust me. He's going to evolve like he did in the comics throughout that fight.
Thank you.
Bone spurs, the whole – it's coming. Trust me.
And I love that because, look, I grew up like – Death of Superman comic series.
Oh, yeah. I bought that whole run.
Funeral for a Friend, Return
of Superman, all that, yeah.
It was amazing. So I don't – what do you think? I mean, just speculating. Since we're starting, Justice League is there. They announced it. DC Films, the new kind of thing now, mm-hmm. DC Films. Here's the Justice League, but we're starting with Batman v Superman.
Yes.
And, so Doomsday. You're thinking that he's going to evolve, and I've heard this too. So
I think fight, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think they're going to even – closely go the route of Superman dying from Doomsday? Do you think there's a possibility?
Anything's possible.
Okay.
But if I say he dies, it's a spoiler. If I say he doesn't die, it's a spoiler. So I'm just going to remain neutral on it.
Do you know? Do you have a...
I don't personally know the third act or the end. I mean, I know, you know, like basic framework and stuff, but I didn't want to personally know... Like a character that I don't even want to get spoiled like that.
But here's
scoop numero uno, Batman v Superman. Scoop numero uno of three that I got for you guys.
Let's do it.
The Batman v Superman is going to premiere here in Los Angeles tentatively Sunday, March 20th.
Really?
On a Sunday. Usually those are reserved for like press for kids movies.
Yeah.
But they're premiering on a Sunday tentatively right now. I was like, okay, not a Tuesday. That's interesting. So we'll see.
What do you make of that? Why Sunday? Why does the Sunday make you go? Because it's kid, like you said, it's, you know, kids' movies usually.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday. I'm like, that's interesting. Are you sure?
He's okay.
Like, yeah, Sunday, March 20th. I'm like, okay.
Okay, do you think it's going to be at Chinese? Or is
I
it going to be?
No, I don't know about the logistics just yet. I just know the date.
Yeah, so I was going to say it.
Like, people are already starting and let's get tickets. Give me tickets. You know, I'm already hearing that. Oh, God. But March 20th? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just occurred to me talking about the death of Superman, like, and Doomsday, of course, being finally.
I love that he's in it.
I do too, and I love the Man of Steel. Do you like Man of Steel?
Love Man of Steel.
Yeah, I loved Man of Steel too, but knowing that it did have its flaws. I mean, I
sure,
will say
it's
that.
It's not a perfect movie, but it sets up the world.
You know where it got me immediately was the beginning, the music.
Yeah.
And Kal-El's mother giving birth.
She was hot.
And it just – the world, like what the that weird robot thing that whoosh, and talking to him.
I was like, that's going to be Brainiac.
I was just like, ooh, that's a good call. I just was like, okay, I'm in. It just – it took – it literally took 3, 4, 5 seconds for me. And then, yeah, I had some issues with it, but I loved the mythology, and I was on record saying that when they added Batman and Ben Affleck in there, I was a little bummed.
I remember that day because that day is the day I broke Bradley Cooper voicing Rocket Raccoon, and then couple hours later, everybody forgot about that because the announcement came up from DC that.
Yeah.
This guy, Ben Affleck, was going to be the Batman. I'm like, yeah.
Which I still love. I'm sorry.
I think, from what I'm hearing, best on-screen Bruce Wayne and most darkest Batman yet.
Good.
He's brutal. Like, they even said he's brutal.
Good.
You know, so, and he looks like a Jim Lee creation come to life. There was there was artwork or concept art for, like, the Slurpee cups and stuff coming out where he's, like, fighting Superman, like a Jim Lee shot, and we put it together on our Instagram page.
That's right. I saw that.
That looks awesome. But I think we're getting the most cinema. I mean, I've been around since the first Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, me
but
too,
I think
man.
This guy's tall. He's got the chin. He's got the wardrobe. I like that he's in his 40s. I like that this Batman is, you know, world weary, age a little bit darker.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, come on. That's awesome.
Yeah, he is perfect as Bruce. I know. We got, it's so funny because I remember
Of his game in the prestige business and decided to put the cape and cowl back. He didn't need to.
I know.
But he wanted that Downey money.
Well, that's, I heard some kind of talk that when, and I don't know where I heard this, but it was like when Daredevil came about, he talks to Kevin Smith and he goes, I don't know. Should I take him in? I kind of want to wait for Batman.
Right. That was at Screen Junkies.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So we heard this at Screen Junkies when we were on movie fights. So that what was so interesting to me is hearing that he was like, he had his heart set on Batman way back when. And yeah, then you go and look, I mean, Argo is I love Argo. The town though is my favorite.
Absolutely.
That he wrote and directed, and starred in. And when I thought about that, because at first I was like, wait a minute, Batman? I don't know. I couldn't wrap my head around it. Then I started to put pieces together. He's a filmmaker. He's standing on set with Zack Snyder. Going,
it was film
talking.
School for him.
Yes.
Action hero. It was superhero movie film school for him. He said it.
Yeah, exactly. Then I started to look. Oh, wait a minute. You know, this guy might take up a Batman movie.
Oh, my
he
God.
Might direct a Batman movie. I mean, he has some vested interest in this. He's going to continue directing. I just thought it was round the clock. Just so awesome. And then I was quickly on board. Even though I wanted a Man of Steel sequel. Like, straight up Man of Steel sequel. Because I just wanted more from Man of Steel, and I was so looking forward to, well, okay, they set it up, great, here we go, let's go Man of Steel 2, and then they're like, Batman v Superman. I was like, huh? Okay. Now I'm on board.
They need Batman.
Well, I mean, I have my issues with that. First off, Man of Steel did not do as well as they wanted to do for DC as far as box office. Like, let's be real here, right? So I throw in Batman in there. It's like, okay, that's a smooth business move. I get it. Business side of things, that was business. But Ben Affleck, you know, I'm with it now. So I'm just hoping for the best because I care so much, not because I hate DC.
But people. Superman ain't no punk in this movie. Did you see the during the playoffs?
The
bat is dead. Bury it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yo, when you put your light on, I best not see you out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to rip that cowl off your face. He was like, he went up to Batman's very expensive Bugatti, ripped it apart, okay? We were like, yo, you're done. What are you going to do about it? And Batman's like, do you bleed? Because you will, you know?
Yeah, see, that's
I hope Batman,
now.
I'm sorry. I hope I'm pro Batman. You're pro Superman.
Oh, yeah. I
hope
Superman.
Batman beats his ass.
I think Batman's going to get a bunch of shots in, but it's Superman.
I love how Roberto's impression of Superman sounds like my uncle who's about to just, like, lay it into somebody. That was great.
Your
I
love
that. That was awesome.
Thank
I was like,
nice.
Uncle PJ's in the room? What's happening? Yeah. Sorry, I had to do that.
No, please do. Chime Absolutely. In anytime. I'm all for Superman. I think Superman is, you know, he's gonna get surprised. Let me just put it that way. He's going to go, dude, come on. Come on. Just put – what the hell, dude? What –
Broke a scoop back in the summer during the fight, something Batman uses, and I'm not going to spoil it, but if you guys want to see, just go to Rock Hollywood and go back to like August or so, and you'll see I think they fight twice, I think.
That's what I've heard, Now, Nathan Kaiser is getting on here saying Man of Steel made $700 million, compare that to the first Marvel movies. I don't know. That sounds right. I guess, right. And maybe I'm off that it didn't do. I mean, that's a lot of money. So, to say it like didn't make enough money or what they
thought.
It
was profitable.
It was profitable. Yeah. I mean, God, don't confuse my language. Yes, it was profitable. But I think they were looking at Dark Knight money. They wanted Dark Knight money. I think that's what my point was. That's why I bet. So we get the Justice League photo, okay, and then we're gearing up to the Geoff Johns Kevin Smith special that's going to basically, which I found, I thought they were going to do something. Marvel's doing their Captain America 75th anniversary special pretty much the same time. I thought they were going to drop some Civil War stuff, and they can't. Nope, they didn't. They just kind
of that was produced by Marvel out of New York. That was produced by publishing, which Ike controls. Okay. So there's still somewhat of a Civil War going on there. It's like, oh, all right,
ooh, okay.
So Feige's okay. You know, you didn't see him in a single frame.
That's right.
But that hurt them because now they got like a second, like a 5 second shot. There's no exclusive footage. You think Marvel Studios is going to hook up Marvel Publishing? They got to work out their beef first.
I know. That's
Ike's got to get over the fact that he, you know, Feige bested him with Iger.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I do want to getting back to Batman v Superman. Yes. Leo on the live chat says, LMMA, what about the screening spoilers for BVS? Was it legit? Are you talking about the Reddit? I believe that
there's a couple of them out there.
Yeah, that but somebody saw. Yeah. I screened as I do for the writers and for the site to see if it's worthy of posting. I read it.
I posted it for the enthusiasm. I didn't post. I posted more about the positive thoughts and the comments on it. I didn't.
Okay.
I mean, it's 2016. I'm out of spoilers, so I can't say if it's legit or not. But
right.
I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm out is because of those kind of events. Like, spoiler culture's evolved into troll culture. Now you got people going out there on purpose, going like, what happened with Star Wars last month? People going on Reddit trying to spoil the entire movie. There's a guy out there with like a banner on his rear view on his
About Han Solo.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. It's become troll culture. It's not cool anymore. I think BVS, when they start screening it, the same thing's going to happen. It's become a problem.
I had to ban so many people on Geek Nation's Facebook page.
Wow.
I couldn't believe the dickheads that went on there. And literally one guy posted screenshots of Han. I mean, not only are you pirating, you know, you're taking pictures of the frickin' movie and then you're putting it on there. I mean, and rightly so, one of the commenters who saw it was like, you're going to burn in hell. You burned. I'm like, all right, I got to clean this shit up.
It was happening with us too, yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you guys, what are we getting to? Come on. Do you have anything better to do? Go outside. Remember when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You would go outside? You need to go outside, you trolls. Okay, BVS, back to that. It's going to do well. People are talking about what it's going to do. I'm excited, but I want to move. We're going to go to Suicide Squad. But let's start here. We started to get the Justice League. We started to get Green Lantern was finally kind of, I guess, officially announced, the Green Lantern's Corp, which I love. I can't wait for that. Then we were getting Flash stuff, and we can talk a little bit about Flash. I thought there was some interesting DC TV Flash
the
stuff.
The bifurcation.
Going.
That's yesterday with Grant Gustin.
We'll touch on that. So, Grant, apparently I read his little statement on Twitter where he liked a couple tweets about people saying, hey, I want Grant as Flash, not Ezra Miller. And he went, thanks for the support. And then all of a sudden it turned into a story that
trolls
that he was bashing Ezra Miller, and he comes out and says, look, I haven't even met the guy, and he's a fascinating actor, and let's stop. I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing. So I don't really think there's a need to make it a story. The guy's doing lights out work on the Flash TV series, and it's a big hit over there. So you can have it over there. I mean, you know, how many Earths are there in the DC
611
universe?
611 or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So whatever. So that was the Flash. I liked some of the concept art. It looks pretty cool. I'm in. I mean, I'm pretty easy. It looks fantastic. Now I want to kind of see what's going on. You know, I want to see some footage. Aquaman continues to interest the hell out of me.
He's going
to
be the Wolverine. You know how Wolverine is the standout in the X-Men universe for Fox? Yeah. I think Aquaman is going to be that in the DCU.
I can see that, especially with James Wan. James Wan impressed the hell out of me directing Fast 7, Furious 7.
And his underrated movie, his Death Sentence.
I've never seen that. Yeah.
Great cinematography, great directing in that.
Yeah, he's got a visual style that I dig. And I think, and I'm so glad he was able to kind of break out of the horror genre and then, you know, kill it with Furious 7, sign on for Aquaman. Now I'm going to go over here and do Conjuring 2 now. God bless you, dude. I love The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for Conjuring 2. So with that kind of combination, and Jason Momoa looking the way he does.
He looks so fresh.
He's so badass.
Yeah.
I'm most interested out of all of them because I think it's also the stigma behind Aquaman. Mm-hmm. He always thought of this blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy in an orange jumpsuit.
A punchline on Entourage.
He was a punchline on Entourage.
Yeah.
Ken Napsok, one of my best friends, the pit boss on Schmoes No Main Show, would always make the joke. And then once Aquaman came out, he's retired the Aquaman jokes. He's like, okay, because Jason Momoa is going to kick my ass. So I love that. I love that people were like, you know, coming around and going, okay, this looks badass. So, yep, Aquaman looks great. But then Wonder Woman.
Oh, fuego.
Wonder Woman, the footage came out, and I loved it. I loved the look. She's like, she's hot. Man.
She's banging.
Man, absolutely. Thank you. Yes. Inside the booth. Inside the booth, we got yes.
And then the slow motion shots of her fighting and stuff.
Yeah. And then, so I'm on, by the way, just a little side, on Movie Fights. We did the live show last night for, Screen Junkies Plus, but it's gonna air on a Saturday. So check that out if you guys want to see me. I don't want to spoil anything, but, argue a lot. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman, we were trying to talk about what's the good villain. Who do we think? And I know, you guys, I read something that it was Eva Green and Cersei.
She was in consideration.
Okay.
But they were in consideration at the time, but scheduling conflicts and it didn't work out.
But the villains, Ares and Cersei, were rumored, right?
They're rumored.
And so that's where we were arguing. Mark Andreyko was on, who's one of the writers for Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So I'll spoil this. Like, that guy, he kicked my ass because he's a Wonder Woman guy. So, you know, I didn't know any of the villains. I'm not up on my Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. But Cersei and Ares are rumored for the villains. And what Mark said that I love that I'm going to steal just for this conversation is Ares is the god of war. And to put Wonder Woman in World War I, holy shit, sign me up.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that they did Captain America World War II, mm-hmm. and they were going a little even further back. I think, and I got to hand it to DC for doing that. And I wonder your opinion. Do you think they had a lot more faith in doing a period piece Wonder Woman
because of
Captain America?
I don't know if that's per se. I mean, I'm the guy who broke I broke the setting that it wasn't going to be World War I and got confirmed. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. thank God, right?
Yeah, or else these trolls would jump on me. But. I think it's interesting. I mean, the rumor is that she is indeed about 200 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. So and she said in the DC special that her own words that she's an Amazon, that she, you know, and then these gods abandoned Earth because man wasn't worthy and she's in conflict with that. So she comes, supposedly she's looking for a MacGuffin in the movie and then it predates Batman v Superman.
Right.
Okay. But I'm really happy for her.
Yeah.
And here's scoop number two for you guys.
Yep.
Scoop number two.
Okay. I'm setting it up. Let's hear it.
Meanwhile, Vin Diesel has been desperately trying to get her to return to the Fast series. So at least make a cameo.
Right.
Okay. And he was worried about this. He knew, I mean, he discovered her. He's the one who put her on and gave her a career and launched her film career. And she adores him. So from what I'm hearing from agency sources, CAA is asking her on his behalf if she's interested in coming back because Eva Mendes has passed on Fast 8 a couple of times.
Okay.
They went after Charlize Theron to be the villain in the Fast 8 movie. It looks like she passed.
Okay.
But they aim high. Like they tried to get Denzel in Fast 7, he passed. But it looks like they're not getting Charlize. They're not getting Eva Mendes. And they need something. So Ben has been for months trying to negotiate or find, I mean, don't bet against this guy.
Yeah.
To get her post Wonder Woman to at least make a cameo like the way Eva Mendes did with The Rock at the end of 6, I think.
Yeah.
She comes. So it's the same thing. They want to, because we never see the body when she dies. We never, like when she came out of the airplane, never saw the body.
Right. That's right.
So they're figuring out, but they're trying to get her to come back to Fast 8. So there's a scoop for you guys.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I dig it. I like the behind the scenes stuff more than I actually like the Fast and Furious movies. I'm sorry. I can't.
But getting back to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She looks like fire. And it's about damn time that you know, in the, with inclusion, not only minor, but women as well.
Women, that's where I was going with this.
You know, an icon of the feminist movement. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know, and I have a lot of friends in the gay community.
Yeah.
Who wants to know if Linda Carter, like three of them at least asked me, hey, is Linda Carter really in Wonder Woman? So I'm after that as well.
She'll be in there. They got to do something.
If they do, that movie's going to overindex in West Hollywood and San Fran. Oh, big time.
There you go.
Yeah.
And hey, Zeno Hour, thank you. He called me out here on the live chat saying he just said I got screwed on movie fights. you can all judge yourself on Saturday when it drops on their YouTube, whatever. Okay. Yeah, so Wonder Woman, I'm very excited about. I mean, it looks great.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was opting for
2017 is going to be awesome. We got that and Justice League. Come on.
I know. It's the golden age of superheroes, and I would
Hollywood's
say even
heroic age.
Yeah, and I would even say Star Wars. It's so amazing. Yeah. My head is going. Yeah.
Head is going to explode. Absolutely, mine too.
Okay, so now I want to go to. Have we talked about all the Justice League? Because now we got to talk about the villains or the worst heroes ever, which is that Suicide Squad trailer. I'm going to go right off with honesty first. It didn't hit me the first time I saw it. I went, what did I just watch? Like, there were so many moments I loved. What kept bumping me in the head was maybe three characters kept saying, you know, hey, just so you know, we're bad guys. They kept kind of hitting me over the head. And I was like, okay, I get it. You're bad guys. And the thing that struck me first was like how the first trailer wasn't really meant to go out. You know, it was only meant for Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So it had a more darkness to it, like something we were used to with DC. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of tracking the business side of it, thinking what the studio's thinking and what they're doing for the fans. And maybe that was David Ayer giving the fans mm-hmm. a taste and not a lot of footage already there. And I'm like, okay, that was cool because I loved the first trailer. Then the second one came out. And it has the tagline, worst heroes ever, and it has more colors, and it has funny moments, and it has lots of action, and it has Queen, and it had like, all these great things. Nice job with that scoop.
I love
on
Scoop.
The,
I was
the
worried.
Suicide,
like,
right?
Sometimes when we come out with these things very early, you know, there's always a chance that they could flip it on you, but I've never had a world premiere Scoop confirmation on national TV. That was awesome.
There you go.
But, and it turned out to be legit, obviously. So I think I like what they're doing with that. Worst heroes, that was a good slogan.
I thought, yeah. Okay. So to finish, thank you. By the way, I'm sorry. I'm talking to the board and LMMA and all the things. Okay. I watched it a second time. Mm-hmm. I watched it a third time. Then I had to prep some stuff for movie fights. I watched it a fourth time. And then I found myself watching it over and over again. I am so in now.
It's a dope trailer.
It took me a while. I don't know why, guys. I don't know. Maybe I was just like running on empty at the time.
Like that shot of Will Smith on top of the
yeah.
car. Like,
yeah, that's kind of badass.
Looking all alpha. Come on, bro.
Well,
awesome.
My favorite moment, and you guys will see more of it. Go to movie fights. You'll see me talking a lot about this. My favorite shot. Was first it starts with the Joker just doing this, and Joker is straight up gangster Al Capone, Tommy Gunn. That's what went through my head.
He's fresh dressed. He's dressed very well.
Yeah,
I can't wait to show you my toys, bro. How about show me your wardrobe? It's pretty fresh.
I know, right? Nice car, nice ride. But him jumping into the vat of what is looks like acid, because then his
shirt melts off, and then Harley's hair becomes blue. Yeah,
yep, and he's pulling her out. And we're sitting there talking about it, and I'm like, this is a different Joker, like, that we got. Obviously, with Jared Leto's performance, but what I'm noticing so much is that what is the relationship with Harley Quinn? What is that? Because in the New 52, mm-hmm. it's kind of following that he pushes her into the vat, mm-hmm. right? But he doesn't jump in. He just kind of helps her out,
right?
You know, and she's, you know. So something's there. It's like we're getting a different Joker. That was my argument last night. Best part was introducing whatever the hell's going on in that tub of acid. Him rescuing Harley Quinn, him forcing her in there. We don't know. It just is interesting. And the shot was gorgeous. The colors coming off of the clothes melting away. He's rescuing Harley. Mm-hmm. One of my followers tweeted me and going, did you notice it came in the shape of a heart? I didn't.
Neither did I.
But that makes sense. It's mm-hmm. just kind of like little things like that.
Attention to detail, guys.
David Ayer is going to just destroy this movie.
And mind you, they're still holding on to their ace card. They haven't shown any of the marketing materials or the trailers yet. Batman's in the movie.
I know, right?
Yeah, Batman's in the movie. I suppose he has a scene with Amanda Waller, and he has a he has a scene with Deadshot and Joker, you know?
Ooh. See, awesome. Okay, yeah. So guys, how
Scoop 2A and a half.
Yes, whatever. Right? So how about you guys in there? I'm already seeing it. My God, yeah, it's you guys are loving it. Tweet at us. I'm sure you already have been, because I put it out to Twitter right when I saw it first view, and I went, I don't know. I said, tone felt off for me, and I put it out to Twitter, and thank God nobody came going, you're an asshole, whatever. I had a great conversation with everybody on Twitter from it, and by the end I was like, yeah.
I had to ingest it too, because the first time I was like, I was just thankful that the scoop was legit, it turned out right.
Yeah.
So it was a sigh of relief. Then I went on Periscope, and a bunch of, like, 1,000 people came in, and we saw it again, and it's like, yo, this, and then I like Periscoped it, and watched it again on the monitor, like, that trailer is fire. Like, when you get something, you read details, it's, you know, reading beat for beat, but then seeing it executed is just something else. So it was exciting. I've seen it at least 12 times by now.
Yeah.
I love the song selection.
Okay. Yeah, that's
it. I think it worked.
I started to notice it missed me, because I felt it was awkward at times, the editing even.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept watching it, and I totally changed my mind. And I was like, oh my God, they're hitting these little moments, and I'm starting to see. It was like boom, 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 boom. Psh, you know, it was great. And yes, Jai Courtney surprised the hell out of me. I had to argue against it on Movie Fights, and I keep plugging it, but. As one of their favorite moments, and I was like, yeah, you can't. He looked great.
He does. He's Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, he looks great. So
I think he's an underrated actor. I'm probably getting trolled for it, but I mean, just not his fault that he's in bad movies. He's just, you know, he's underused, and this is probably something that's going to play up to his strengths.
Yeah,
I love how crazy. And he knocks the guards out. It's like he's crazy.
Yeah, and Draco brought up a great point on Movie Fights. He's just like, hey, it's great. He gets to use his native tongue. You know, basically, he doesn't have to put on an accent, which I think is going to help. And
yeah.
I agree with that. I think he's going to be looser, maybe. And you know, yeah, he looks like he's having fun. That's the thing about Suicide Squad. Everybody on there looks like they're fucking having a time of their life.
Yes,
and that is
it was a fun production, from what I hear.
Yeah, and that's coming into the fans, and so we are toying with them. Like, if it's not going to happen, but I'm not a hater, guys. So
we're
chill out
haters.
Before I say this. If Batman v Superman doesn't meet the expectations. Let me just put it that way. It's going to be a box office juggernaut. But let's say,
in the bank, easy worldwide.
Oh, I totally agree. But let's say some, you know, for lack of a better word, some fans are like, nah, didn't hit it. I, you know, man, that sucked. I didn't like whatever. And it doesn't maybe whatever. We have Suicide Squad. That's going to, if it even needs to, I think it's just going to complement the hell out of the universe and put this right on. I just think, you know, can Suicide Squad essentially save, if it doesn't need it, but this is a question we've been mulling over, if DC needs any kind of shot in the arm, you know, kick in the butt, get up there, make some waves. I think Suicide Squad is that movie, right? I mean, it just looks beautiful. A lot of people were comparing it to Guardians and like.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's obviously influences there. They're trying to make their own B-boy version of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is the Suicide Squad. Their own teams of villains and misfits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And DC, by hands down, has always had the better villains.
I know, absolutely. DC does have the better villains. Keep it real.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's villains are weak. He only has one, Goblin. Green Goblin. But what about everyone else? That's why the movies have been having trouble.
I do want Kraven the Hunter, though, for Spider-Man.
So do I.
Yeah, Kraven would be badass. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just when it comes to some of the villains, I mean, and that's why Suicide Squad looks, they're iconic. Yeah, I mean, you don't get much better than Joker. I mean, why is he so popular now that it's such a thing? Like, who's going to play Joker? Who's going to play Joker? Is it true too that he wasn't even in the first draft of that script? Like, they weren't going to put Joker in Suicide Squad? Okay. Yeah, I was wondering how it was going to
come
down.
No, in the first couple, no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
But I have a draft of it. Before Ayer came on board, he wasn't in it.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah, you guys are all going crazy, I know. This, like, if you...
They trolling me or no?
No, everybody's pretty good. I think this is a reference to me. If you don't love Mad Max, unfollow. Max Viola said this. Yeah, I said I came out of Mad Max. I was on Schmo's main show. I'm like, yeah, that was good. I liked it. And people were like, unfollow. They were pissed at me. Like, I hated it. And I was like, no, it's a great movie. Just I didn't think it was, you know, whatever. Suicide Squad, I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, that's all you really have to say. It it really lit a fire under my ass for DC. I'm so excited for that movie. More excited than Batman v Superman. I can't lie.
I'm a Batman fanboy. I'm excited more for Batman first and then the Joker. And,
sure.
And, you know, we're getting both.
So. No, and I'm a Superman guy. I don't know what it is. I'm just going in. Yep. I'm trying to keep my expectations low, I think.
You should as a Superman fan because your boy's going to get his ass kicked by Batman.
No, should we take some bets here? Is Superman going to be taken out by Batman? I don't know. I think it's going to be a draw.
Maybe.
It's going to be interesting to see. There it is. Yep.
What's
that's,
that?
That's the boxing bell.
I was just saying, 'cause you guys were getting into a fight.
We were getting into a fight.
Sorry.
I can't wait. No, thank you.
I thought we were running out of time for that one.
Like, oh. We are. We got to wrap it up. We do have to wrap it up. So I will say that.
We have room for Marvel news?
Of course we do. Let's end it there. That's what I wanted to do. So we're going to end with some Marvel news because I know you got, what, Scoop 3?
Scoop 3.
Let's do it.
So, according to my sourcing, Danny Rand in Iron Fist is indeed going to be white.
Okay.
Hashtag Iron Fist so white. Sorry.
Yeah, but, okay.
So Ike Perlmutter is already – they're staffing their writers. Ike Perlmutter has already got his guys in there because that's a little – he still controls a bit of Marvel TV. So Scott Buck, the showrunner that we broke, along with another site, he's staffing up and putting his writers there. So I've been investigating. Look, what's going on with Danny Rand? Is he going to be Asian? Is he going to be white? So I'm getting back. They were looking for an Asian actor for a long time.
Okay.
Somebody that has a film career but also could have a presence in television.
Sure.
But they're now looking across the board, and it's most likely going to be a white actor.
Okay.
So you can, you know, those Ryan Phillippe rumors, let's see if they pan out.
I don't want Ryan Phillippe for that.
Why not? I think he'd be dope. He had a good film career, and he's good on television. He could probably knock it out the park. But it's going to fall in line with the comic books. It's something I'm investigating, so take with that if you will.
Well, there you go. That's
three scoops for y'all.
I love it. When Miyomi comes on, he brings presents. So, you guys, thank you so much for joining us on the live chat. And hold on, I want to do one shout-out because I see you there. They wanted to talk. I'll get just the last minute. Sorry, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Where'd you go? All right, keep it 100%. Talk about Krang and Teenage Mutant Turtles or Ready Player One, says Nerds for Hire. Of course, I see you on there. Ready Player One, I just can't wait for. Are you following that at all?
Not really.
Have you read the book?
I know.
Spielberg's directing it, right?
Yeah. Fucking can't wait. It's going
to
be amazing.
I mean, I'm a big Ernie Cline fan.
Yeah.
You know, I just haven't gotten around to reading the book first. You know?
Yeah, the book is
it's like 80s and 90s, like,
oh, yeah.
References,
it's like,
right?
Oh, the video game, 80s references.
Riley, have you read his second book?
No, I haven't.
It's called The Armada, and it's great.
It's not a sequel?
No, it's not a sequel. It's a whole different book.
Okay, I got to get that.
It's just as geeky and nerdy as Ready Player One. It's great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And we're going to get a movie of that any day now.
I hope so.
And then the other thing is Krang and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Is this something – are you tracking? I'm sorry. I'm not tracking that. Krang is the dude in the belly, right? That guy?
I'm not really tracking the movie because I know the director. So
okay.
I got to step, you know.
Okay. I'm not either. I don't have any sources on that. So I'm just kind of seeing what you guys are seeing. Am I excited? You know, I am.
I am.
I didn't think the
it's got arrows. Ninja... Casey Jones.
Yeah. Oh, Casey Jones, man. Yeah. Am I a fan of Casey Jones? Yeah, I had that toy. I played the hell out of Casey Jones. I was like, yeah, this is my boy. So Teenage Mutant Turtles surprised me. I didn't, you know, I went in late and people were like, that's awful. Blah, blah, blah. And I went in and I went, that's not that bad. I had fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited that they're actually putting Bebop and Rocksteady, and now it looks like Krang. We got Shredder. I mean, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now, live action, and it did well. So here we are. We got a franchise. I'm excited for it.
Like, me too,
I think a lot of you are. So, all right, let's wrap it up there. El Miembe, editor-in-chief of Heroic Hollywood, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me on. Happy New Year.
Man. Happy New Year. Good to have you on. And, where can everybody find you?
At HeroicHollywood.com, HeroicHollywood.com, and at HeroicHollywood.com on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube.
Nice.
We're developing a YouTube show.
Nice. Man.
So it's called Heroic Insider.
Oh, right,
like,
on.
Yeah. So I think after doing this for about a dozen years and getting so many scoops correct, I think I've earned the right to be called Hollywood's Heroic Insider.
I think so.
You know,
I would back you on that. So can I come on that show?
Of course.
Okay,
we're
going
to do it like in the vein of we're trying to see Well, I can't reveal that right now, but we're trying to see what we could do and execute something that would be serviceable for you guys. Maybe I drop scoops on the air and stuff. But
that's fun.
You know, I've been inspired. Like, you inspired me. Jeff inspired me. The other the Schmoes.
Yeah.
Campy, all these shows that I've been on. I was like, I think I could do this. So you guys were my on-air film school for me.
I appreciate that.
Anytime,
man.
I could come on here to work out the muscles and get comfortable on camera and on mic for you guys,
yeah,
I appreciate it.
It's a workout thank you. For me. Yeah, man. Pleasure, man. As always, I love having you on. And yeah, it can be interesting. I remember starting the main show, Schmoes Know, and we were at Toad Hop, and it was like, who's watching? What? Okay. Now here I am, so I'm excited. It's so much fun. Yeah, it's really fun. We're doing the same thing over at Geek Nation. We're trying to develop some shows and video shows, and that's where it's at now. That's where the medium's at. That's where the space is at. It's so much fun, and everybody. It's a big sandbox. Everybody can play. So guys, thank you as always. Go ahead, tweet at the In Snyder. Tell him you missed him and wish him good luck at Sundance, not to party too hard. And as always, you can find me at Riley Around on Twitter and at Geek Nation, and go to geeknation.com. And the last plug I'll give is Far Far Away is back, guys. Me and John Rocha, we host Far Far Away, a Star Wars podcast. We're doing it now every Monday, so we have a new episode coming up Monday. So thank you, guys. Please rate, subscribe. We really want you to share this because I love doing this. I love having LMEMA on. I love having my friends and colleagues on. I love doing it with Jeff. So you guys, please share this around. Tweet at us. Tell your friends about it. We talk about movie news, but at the end of the day, we're fans and we love this. So thanks as always for joining us, guys. We'll be back next week. Jeff will be back, and we will talk to you then. This is Meet the Movie Press. See ya.
Take care, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.